Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We'd like to share this edition with you, so if you have a question or a topic of interest you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We start a brand new week here, and we're talking about a very important topic today, and it's out of the book of Philippians, and it's really a topic that it flows out of being established in truth, and that's what we've been talking about all week, that as believers, you know, we receive the message, and then we want to get established in the message. We want to get established in the life of Christ. We want to grow grace roots, so to speak. And as we do, then we can see the life of grace, the life of Jesus Christ, flow up, you know, into us and through us out into the world. Mm-hmm. And that's the Christian life. It is really Jesus Christ himself in us. He's our hope of glory. He's our everything. So there's one truth we cannot forget, and that's this, and it's written for us in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Yeah. So God is the source. You know, that's why life didn't work out so well for us before we came to know God through Jesus Christ. We were the source, or we relied on the world as our source. We relied on the flesh. We relied on sin. We relied on our own human understanding. We relied on money. We relied on power and prestige and popularity and all of those sort of things, and every single one left us empty. So we struggled along with life. We got frustrated with life. We resigned ourselves to a secondary existence, a subhuman existence, so to speak. But then the gospel message hit our hearts, and we learned of Jesus. We learned about his death, his burial, his resurrection. We learned that we could receive him, and hearts responded in faith, and we received Christ into us. Now, he's our very life. That's what Paul wrote in Colossians. When Christ appears, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with him. So once we have come to Christ, it's no longer us who lives, but it's Christ who lives through us. So we have to remember that in everything that we do, God is the source. Jesus Christ is the source. It is God who works in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So what is God doing in us? What is Jesus Christ doing in us? What is the Holy Spirit doing in us? Well, he is working to bring truth to these minds of ours so that our minds will align up with the truth of the Word of God. And then once our minds are in line, then our wills will follow, and we'll be making choices that will express the very life of God into this world. But it all begins with Christ in us. So we can't do this through human effort. We can't force our minds to get in line with the truth of the Word of God. That takes the power of God's Spirit. It takes the power of God's Spirit to give us the very mind of Christ and help us or enable us or empower us to express that mind of Christ through this human vessel. So never, ever, ever forget this truth, that it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you remember that, then your life will be filled with this attitude of trust and dependence and reliance and availability to God. And as you live with those attitudes, with that disposition, then you're going to see more clearly the fruit of his life being expressed through you.
Yeah. That is good news, and thanks, Bob, for sharing those thoughts. Friends, we are glad that you're with us. We'd like for you to join us by phone at 844-322-2742. If you can get to the phone right now, give us a call, 844-322-2742. And friends, are you serious about your faith? Do you hope for a full and abundant life? Well, here at Basic Gospel, our mission is to help you get there. That's why Bob Christopher's message, Established in Truth, can be of significant help. And for those of you who pray for and support Basic Gospel, we have a copy for you. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742 to make your gift and help this ministry continue to spread the good news to North America and literally around the world. Together, we can help many people hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and we'll get a copy of Established in Truth on its way to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia and talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask about Luke 14:33, in which Jesus says, "Everyone who does not give away everything he has cannot be my disciple." I know that in the past you've talked about the rich young ruler, and this seems to be even more sweeping. He says, "Everyone who doesn't give away everything he has." And there's teaching out there that says, you might have thought you believed in Jesus, but did you really? Because you didn't come to him on his terms. You didn't really do this expectation that he has of you. So I wanted you to talk about that, and I also wanted you to frame it in the context that Jesus used, because I know context is important, where Jesus said before that it's important to count the cost before you do it. Like, for example, the person who started to build a tower and wasn't able to finish. So could you talk about that, please?
Well, certainly, Chris, and it's a very good question, and it's a stumbling block for many people, this particular verse, and it makes them doubt the genuineness of their faith. Have I given everything away that was important to me? Have I renounced all of those things? And it's kind of interesting, the English Standard Version renders that verse this way, 14:33 in the Gospel of Luke. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So the context here is two things, identity and possessions. So we seek life in those two things, don't we? We try to discover who we are. The first source of identity is our family relationships. We get our name from the family that we were birthed into, and so we can put a lot of stock, a lot of importance into that identity. And there's lots of people who will say that their human identity, based on the family that they were born into, maybe the village they were born into, the community they were born into, the faith that they were born into, is more important to them than what Christ is offering as a new identity through faith in him. So we have to come to a point and say, no matter what name that we have earned for ourselves here in this world, it does not compare to the name that God will give me through new birth in him. So we have to realize that if God is saying, I'm calling you and I want to adopt you into sonship, and I want to give you a name called saint, a child of God, we have to realize that that's more important than any other identity that's out there. So we need to renounce those. Now, it doesn't mean that we forsake our families or any of those sort of things. It's just saying that this family identity that I have, or whatever identity, other identity that I'm leaning on, is not sufficient to gain me eternal life. It's just temporal. Here's the eternal one. And so as we embrace that eternal one, then we can be better suited and better equipped to live out our real purpose within those families and communities that God has placed us. And the second thing is possessions. We like to pride ourselves in the things that we have. And boy, we want more and more toys in life. and we measure success, we measure blessing based on the amount of possessions, the amount of money, the amount of wealth that we have. Well, there's no amount of money that we could earn, that we could have, that would be a sufficient amount to buy us redemption. No, we cannot buy our way out of spiritual death. We cannot buy our way out of this spiritual condition that we find ourselves in when we're born into this world. There's no way our money can save us. So we have to realize that only Christ can. So we renounce those things that were holding us so that we can embrace and receive Jesus for who he really is. So that's what this passage is talking about. And it really gets down to that idea of idolatry, that we worship at the foot of identities in this world, and we worship at the foot of possessions or wealth or money in this world. And it's time to be released from those powers, and that's what the cross is all about, so that we can be made new, made right, made fully alive in Jesus.
Okay, and what would you say is the cost that Jesus is talking about here, and how do we count it?
Well, for example, back then, and even today in the Middle East, say you're born into a Jewish household, and you know you go to college maybe, and you know your next door neighbors at the dorm, they're believers, and they start sharing Christ with you. And you come to that point and believe that he truly is the Messiah, that he truly is the way, truth, and the life. And you say, I believe. Well, you know that when you tell your mom and dad, who are still Jewish, that they're not going to be too happy about that. We see, in the Islamic faith, we see family members that have come to Christ, and what does that mean to them? Well, it means total ostracizing, that they've been shut out from family life and disowned. So there's a lot of cost there, isn't there? In those sort of things. And so he's saying weigh those, and when you do, you realize that what you're gaining in Christ far surpasses anything else that you had in this world. Just as Paul said in Philippians 3, that I count everything as a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about, exactly what Paul was expressing in Philippians 3, is recognizing that there's nothing of more value. He is that treasure that's buried in the field. And once you find it, you know there's nothing else that compares.
Okay, well, thanks as always for everything you guys do. Thanks for making the good news available every single day for all of us listening, and you have a great rest of your day.
Well, thanks, Chris. We always love your questions. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Bye-bye, my friend.
We have an open line right now at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And, friends, we invite you to join the live Basic Gospel video stream every day on either our Facebook or YouTube channel. Come on in and see what goes on inside the studio every day. Well, guys, we had this important question from Diana. Let's listen right now.
Hi, my name is Diana. My mother, she's with the Lord right now, but I have a question concerning this. My mother came to know the Lord, and she went before the church. She got saved, but she was on oxygen and had a portable oxygen tank. So she wasn't baptized, but she did receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, confessed her sins, and she read her Bible every day. She loved the Lord. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was just on fire for God. I mean, I believe that she's in heaven, but would that interfere with anything? Or, I mean, even though she didn't get baptized, but she just loved the Lord, was on fire for God. I know we're supposed to be baptized, but she couldn't because of her health. Would God understand that? Would Jesus understand that? And just be okay. And I just thank you for answering my question. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, Diana. And I just appreciate your heart and your concern for your mom. And, you know, there's lots of people that teach that you must be baptized in water in order to be saved. But that's really not the gospel. That's not a part of the gospel. And Paul explained that in his first letter to the Corinthians. He said, God sent me to preach the gospel. He did not send me to baptize. And he said, I've only baptized a few of you. And he names those. And then he repeats himself, but I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach the gospel. Well, if water baptism was a part of that gospel message, then he would have been talking about everybody that he had baptized in water. So water baptism is not necessary for salvation. Spiritual baptism, that's the baptism that saves. And so the moment Diana, your mom, received Christ Jesus, she was baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit placed her into Jesus. So she was placed into his death, she was placed into his burial, and she was placed into his resurrection. So just as Christ was raised from the dead, your mom was raised spiritually to walk in the newness of life. Now, all of that is guaranteed by the work of Jesus. His death on the cross guarantees her salvation. So when Jesus saves you, he saves you completely. And Diana, when your mom took her last breath because Christ had made her fully alive in him, she was immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. The thief on the cross, you
Same
know,
thing.
He stood there and he said, Jesus, have mercy upon me. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. No opportunity for water baptism. Mm-hmm. And that's the case for so many people. There's no opportunity for that. So we have to recognize that the baptism that saves is the spiritual baptism. And every believer experiences that the moment that they're saved. Now, water baptism is simply a celebration of that reality. It's an opportunity to allow the body of Christ to share in the joy that heaven has experienced because you, who were once a sinner, have been made fully alive in Christ. So it's a marvelous celebration, that water baptism thing, but it's not necessary for eternal salvation.
Diane, I hope that's a help to you, and thanks for your question, and I hope you'll keep listening. Well, guys, we want to let our listeners know that there are only a couple of 3 days left of our offer for Bob Christopher's CD called Established in Truth. We want you to have a copy, and you can get one, of course, as you make your gift this month before the end of the month to Basic Gospel to help us keep the good news coming. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net or phone that universal number, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and this is kind of special, guys.
Hi, this is Peggy, and I want to thank y'all so much for everything that y'all do. Y'all blessings. I go home every day after work, and I listen to you going down the road, and you're just a blessing. You know, you're just encouraging because there's so many people out there that are so fearful because I've lived in that fearful life before myself, and you're so encouraging for everything that you say and you do. And I just want to say thank you and praise God. Just thank you so much.
Well, Peggy, thank you so much for your kind
yes.
words, and we thank you that you allow us to go on your car rides, that we're there on the radio dial, and that just means so much to us. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. Thank you for being a part of ours. And, you know, she said something that just really struck me. You know, we live in a world that's filled with bad news, and everywhere we look, it's discouraging. It can be overwhelming. It can be too much, and we get fearful and frightened and anxious. But the gospel message gives us hope. It encourages us. It can punch that fear right in the face,
yeah.
and give us an anchor for our souls. So we at Basic Gospel, we want to be voices that that lift up the name of Jesus, lift up the hope that he offers, tell people about this wonderful love that he has shed abroad in our hearts in the person of Jesus Christ. So Peggy, thank you so much for your kind words.
Yeah.
Thank you for encouraging us today. We greatly appreciate it.
And friends, if you would like to share something with us, you can do it exactly the same way that Peggy did by calling that number, 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, that's what Howard did from Canada.
Yeah, hi, my name is Howard. I'm from Maple Ridge, British Columbia. You were talking the other day on the tithing about it not being in the New Testament, and I'm just wondering, like I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, they believe in tithing, and also they believe in keeping the Sabbaths. Just wondering, my minister talked about dispensationalism. I can't pronounce it very well. Anyway, if you could comment on different forms of beliefs regarding that particular topic, I'd appreciate it. Thanks very much. Bye.
Well, Howard, thank you for asking that. It really is as simple as this. There was an old covenant. That old covenant was between God and the people of Israel, and it was put into effect at Mount Sinai. So after the people of Israel had been delivered by the hand of God out of Egyptian enslavement. They had been there for 400 years, and God heard their cries. He raised up Moses. All of those different judgments came down upon the people of Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Gather your people and go." God miraculously parted the Red Sea. They crossed over. They go to Mount Sinai, and this old covenant was established right there. And it was, as I said, a covenant between God and the people of Israel. Well, in that, there was different laws governing the religious life of the people. And so God appointed the descendants of Levi to be the priests. So Moses was a Levite, Aaron was a Levite, and so they were the first priests after the law was given. And they were prohibited from owning land or any of those sort of things. And they were to be supported by the people. So the other 11 tribes would bring tithes into the storehouse. Much of that produce and those cattle were used for sacrifices. And then the rest was for food substances for the Levites. So that was under the old covenant. That was the Mosaic covenant, what we know as the law. But that law has changed. We're now in the new covenant. We have a new priest. Well, in this new covenant, and that's important for us to understand, that we as believers in Christ live in the new covenant. And in this new covenant, we are to excel in the grace of giving. So we don't have Levites to support. That's not an obligation that is put on us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts to participate in the grace of giving. And as we learn the joy of giving, that it's truly better to give than to receive, then we will see the grace of God moving in us to give more and more and more, just as a part of his work inside of us. So we in this new covenant, and that's where we live today, are encouraged to excel in the grace of giving. And all that information is there for us in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9.
Well, that in mind, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. And with your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of the CD by Bob Christopher called Established in Truth. A couple of days left to make that gift and get your copy. A message that will, of course, encourage you to grow as a believer, to be established in a full and abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Established in Truth is Basic Gospel's gift back to you when you donate to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ. To make your gift and receive your copy, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow at the same time, because we will, and I hope you will too. Bye-bye.